our minds.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your virtue goes no deeper than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have learnt how to say to our ancestors, 'You must not kill. If anyone does kill, he must answer for it before the court.' But I say this to you, anyone who is angry with his brother will answer for it before the court. If a man calls his brother fool, he will answer for it before the Sanhedrin. And if a man calls him renegade, he will answer for it in hellfire. So then, if you are bringing your offering to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother first, and then come back and present your offering. Come to terms with your opponent in good time, while you are still on the way to the court with him, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. I tell you solemnly, you will not get out till you have paid the last penny."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of language here about courts. Answer for it before the court, answer for it before the Sanhedrin, answer for it in hellfire. Quite a court. And then, the warning at the end, while you're on the way to the court, therefore you'll be handed over to the judge will hand you over to the officer, you'll be thrown into prison, not get out to pay the last penny. You really might be forgiven for thinking that Jesus was talking about very earthly relationships here. But that mention of hellfire should alert us to the fact that this is a saying about depth of virtue, holiness. And the language of the court is an analogy. We're not on our way to court. We're on our way to meet God. And if we are to meet God in a way that will not devastate us, then we must be sure that our offering is worthy. And the context here is in terms of brotherly love. I suppose brotherly love is something people don't much think about. We're used to feeling that families are very much under fire, and we're ready to find that brothers and sisters care very little for one another. We hear some frightful stories. Rows about inheritances, indifference to difficulty and poverty and sickness, hardness of heart in families, and we think sometimes the world is getting very sick. And so the concept of brotherly love is something which perhaps is getting a little distant in the world. We should remember that it is the characteristic love of the Christian Church. A fraternal charity, that kind of disinterested and clear-sighted love that grows up between families, not sentimental, not overwhelmingly emotional, but still deep and sincere, built upon knowledge, not illusion. Built on experience and tried and tested. This is the sort of love Jesus called people to have. I must go back to my reference works and count the occurrence of the word brother in the New Testament. And all the words that are connected with that relationship. The
equality of brotherhood.
You have only one teacher, you have only one master, you are all brothers. The call which comes from this family relationship, if a brother or sister is in need, you must share with them. And here, if you remember that your brother has something against you, put down the apparatus of your religion and go and sort it first. Put it to rights before you come to God. And here is a whole agenda, surely, for Lent, for all of us. You might want to go on to ask that other gospel chestnut, who is my brother? And of course we shall find a disturbing answer. Your brother is anybody you can reach, anybody you can help. Now that worries me, because we've never ever before been in such a position to help as we are now. One of the things that communications have done for us, and our duty to help is nearly limitless. And so to have our brother have something against us would not be difficult. Certainly there is no room for complacency about this. Is there someone close to you to whom you owe something that isn't given? I once knew somebody who was keeping a terrible secret and who lived in daily fear of it all coming out, who couldn't understand why her relationships seemed to be suffering. You can't live separated from reality like that without all your relationships suffering. And she was very graphic about it. She said, it's as if there's a little iceberg in the heart of everybody I know. I don't think it was a little iceberg in their hearts, but a big one in hers. And the lack of ability to share is such a painful reality. The gospel seems to tell us today that to share justice, to be at peace and at rights with others, is a key to the door of faith and to the mystery of sacrifice. And unless we have solved that hard, cold heart, and resolved ourselves into currency for the world's pain, the sacrifice had better wait. Lord, help us to make our gift one another, so that our gift to you will be sincere.
We have prayed.